Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective supporting 31 Penn State sports and over 800 student-athletes. With me, Executive Director of Football at Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. Mike, surviving the snowstorm?
I sure am. I kind of like it. I grew up in Ohio. Kind of, you get one bad storm a year, but it's pretty funny listening to our friends that have moved and relocated down south because, you know, it's like Y2K. You know, once you, the further south you get, it's unbelievable. But yeah, I've just been busy, with everything going on. I've been kind of in my own little bubble. So anything happening on the news or anything outside of like Penn State football and athletics, I've just been kind of in a bubble the last couple of days. So I really didn't hear all this buzz about this storm from 1830 coming until like 2 days ago. And I was like, cool. But yeah, it's coming down pretty good, and I'm looking forward to taking advantage with the kids.
Well, you can have fun with it. I'm an old man. I'm tired of the snow already. And you know what? It's interesting you mentioned down south. Those people – I lived in Virginia for a while. I know you were down there. I don't know if you ever had any kind of storm, snow, ice while you were down there.
Yeah.
First of all, those people have no clue, none, of how to drive in bad weather. None.
Right. They know. Well, they don't even try. I mean, if they get a forecast for like any potential of any kind of snow, ice, anything, they'll shut down school like days ahead. It's unbelievable.
Well, I was in Virginia outside of DC, and there was a snowstorm during the day, and the government said, okay, we're done. Sent everybody home at the same time. The biggest mess I've ever seen in my life. Didn't matter if you were driving, taking the subway. If we have some time at some point, I'll tell you the whole story. But anyway, let's move on. You're talking about being in that Penn State football bubble. Let's start by talking about it. First of all, you, Mike, have been involved in other programs when a new coach comes in and takes over. So you know what that's like with the challenges. But add the layer of the portal to this now. I don't think where you were with a new coach that they lost 50 players to the portal, essentially lost most of their recruiting class. Just where is this coaching staff right now with just settling down into the new job?
Yeah, well, you kind of painted like a doom and gloom like picture there. I think what you're talking about, I think every team is going through that. And I'd say from every conversation I've had and what I know, how the staff has transitioned with all of those things that you talked about, it's been really smooth. I'm pretty impressed from the things that I've seen. Kind of from being close to the program, it's been really smooth from the players coming in, the new players coming in, the freshmen, the returners coming back, getting acclimated to the coaches. You know, just like all new coaches, they usually come in and they meet with all the players, right? Every single one of them. That's what Coach Campbell did. That kind of sets kind of the stage of what the next steps are for each kid. So then that's why you kind of saw the people that left. It wasn't just – there were really no surprises. Everything was talked about, you know, as professionals and, you know, as the business that it is now. So I think everything's good. I think the staff has done a really good job.
Well, they had a lot going on, and it's pretty obvious they had a plan coming here. But to your point about other schools having to deal with this, whether they was a coaching change or not, I thought it was interesting where you have Ohio State who they do recruit as well as any school in the country. So yeah, they're used to just bringing in their own talent, maintaining it. They had over 30 players go into the portal, and that's without a coaching change.
Yeah, I think this time it's really interesting time to be around college football. I think it's fun, honestly, because things are changing. I think for the longest time, NCAA, the rules, college football, the template of college football has been archaic. It's needed to be changed, I think. It just never changed with the times. And then as times kept going, it just kept, it built that gap between where they should be and where times are. And now it just hit just a bunch of walls with NIL, with recruitment, how you're building and constructing rosters. It's pretty cool. I think what we're seeing is you're seeing these really talent. What was the real priority in recruiting was high school development, and that's still going to be development, just development in general. I think that's a buzzword that gets thrown around. Coaches better be able to develop. They better, but it was all, but the they better be able to recruit high school kids and then develop, right? I think that was the priority, high school, and then you'll build off of the portal. I think that's changing. I think because everything is, this is a business. And what's the number one word you hear when you talk business and sales? ROI, right? So when you recruit and you invest your time and resources in a high school kid, no matter how talented he is, when are you going to get the ROI on that kid? You're not going to get a return on a defense and offensive lineman when he's entering a room of grown men or 23, 24, 25 years old. It's not happening. Right. So you're sitting on dead money, essentially, where that money could have maybe potentially went to another seasoned FCS group of five player. Right. So like as a business standpoint, where it's a win now industry, why wouldn't you take that player over the high school kid that has a ceiling and has some promise, but yet you need some time to develop? That is a question that every team, GM and coach is going through. How do they want to construct their roster based on the times now?
It's funny you bring that up. I've been saying, at least for this past week on this show, Mike, do you ever read those articles? And I read every one of them. I think it's so much fun. Let's redo the draft from 3 years ago. How would that draft look now? And obviously, it's totally different than what you saw. Well, I liken the portal to that. It's like getting the do-over on the draft. Okay, when they were freshmen, high school recruits coming in, you want the five-star guys, the four-star guys, the top. But now, 2 or 3 years later, okay, I get a redo. And maybe those five and four-star guys aren't quite five and four-star guys. I now get to re-recruit, redraft with a whole lot more information. And as you said, not only am I getting to redraft with more information because I've seen them play, in college for a couple of years, they're now grown-ass men. They're not kids anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And
So
so.
it's gonna be interesting to see like the mindset of a college high school kid, because I think Coach Campbell's message to these recruits is really cool. It's from my understanding, who it's always who he is. He's not a recruiting star rankings guy, right? And that just kind of marries up perfectly with the time that it is, right? But he's still going to develop and want to develop high school kids. But also, like, it's is it are we going to recruit a kid that is all about his stars and rankings, and then he's not going to play for a year? Then what? So we just wasted a certain amount of the salary cap on that particular kid, and time and resources on that kid, just for him to not develop and then transfer and get frustrated and transfer. So that's why recruiting character and guys that who love football is going to take precedent over like a very talented kid that doesn't have maybe that elite character that you want to know, like when it's going to get tough, is this kid going to love football enough that he's not going to want to transfer and he's going to fight it? Right. Like I think all the old school guys like me and you and, a lot of our audience, I think would agree, like that's what this college experience should be. they should go. You're going to have hard times. Like, absolutely. It's going to be one of the hardest times and challenges in your life. So what are you going to do when you walk in that room and you see, man, you're not the man anymore, but you're still getting paid a decent amount because that's what the market was, which is not fair, or it's just still wild, wild west. So what are you going to do? Do you love the game enough to fight through that and say, no, I am the man. I'm going to stick it out. So I just think times are different. I think we're going to see a change in high school recruiting. Now, does it stay? Is there going to be a decline in the emphasis on high school recruiting compared to how it's been in the past 10, 15 years? I don't know. But I think there's going to be some serious changes in how people look at constructing their rosters. And that's just the facts.
Do you think there will be a difference in how the positions are recruited? By that, I mean, you know what, these positions, maybe I could get out of high school and a guy could contribute right away. But there's other positions, you know what, it's just such a crapshoot, you know, trying to recruit players for that position. I'm better off going to the portal for that position. And I know it'll never be 100% one way or the other by position, but would there be some emphasis that way? Indiana is going to be their third straight year bringing in a portal quarterback, for example. Yep. You know, and I know different schools will use different strategies, but do you see that happening a bit by position?
I think that already happens. That's already kind of built in, and that's how, like, usually these GMs or DPPs and the coaches, that's how they're wired already. They're looking at positions, or they're looking at the rosters by positions from top down, and who they're always projecting once that new class, like this year, all right, we have our seniors. All right, we know they're gone. The people that are going to exhaust their eligibility are. So what's left? All right, who's coming up, right? So right now it's really early in the stages, but you're looking at the guys that you're hoping that will develop and step up as a backup or as maybe a redshirt freshman that's had a year to develop in the program. You have to consider all that. And then they get an opportunity, you know, during this winter workout phase that we're going to go through. They're going to have some time to impress the coaches and see where they're at. And they may not be surpassing a Rocco or an older senior, but at least they're in the coaches' heads. They're raising their value. So when these conversations come up throughout the year, they're going to be a part of that equation in that room.
Okay, that's it for quarter number one. Stick around. We got lots more to go.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director at HVU. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter two of our show. Mike, just one more thought on Penn State and timing right now. I think fans want to know how things – we're at the late January right now. What the things are, the points of emphasis for the coaching staff. We're seeing some of these tidbits that it sounds like a lot of the emphasis now is on next year's recruiting class. We're hearing a lot of talk about the class of 27.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was this show what is on Monday, so this past weekend, the first junior day under Coach Campbell's under the Coach Campbell era. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to hear all the buzz and everything going on. So obviously, this phase is the time to really hammer in on the 27s, getting them back, getting them on campus, getting them around Coach Campbell and the new staff, because a lot of these guys have been here. Not a lot. I'd say, half of those guys that were here this past weekend had already been here. So it was kind of just like checking it out, checking these new coaches out. And the coaches know that. And then also it's bringing in a lot of these other coaches these players that they're recruiting kind of, nationwide, having a kid here from South Dakota, California. That's pretty cool too, to see that. But the emphasis right now is to strengthen that, try to, get in a really good position with our top priorities in the 27 class, and then strengthen those relationships with the kids in the 28 class. And then it's also get these coaches are still getting to know their players, getting the players that transferred acclimated, getting the players that that are early enrollees acclimated. So, and they're going on the road during the weekdays. So there's a lot going on for them to really kind of catch up and stay up. But I would say they're not just staying. They're just not, keeping their head above water. I think they're doing a really good job excelling in all of those different areas that I just talked about, that they're, this is the time of year, just not them, but around the country, this is what teams are really kind of looking at.
I'm not asking this question for, to be critical of the old regime. I'm just literally, it's different personalities with a different coaching staff. How much effect do you see? What kind of differences are you seeing in a junior weekend today under Matt Campbell versus what it was under Coach Franklin? Just a tone or culture difference.
It's not talking bad about a previous staff. I think people get kind of stuck on that too, because they just the way that it happened. There's just like naturally people just want to think, well, the new coach is better than the last coach, or this is better than the last coach. It's not that. It's just that they're different, right? And I think right now with the state of Penn State in athletics, where we're at right now, I don't think there could have been a better hire than Coach Campbell with the times today. Like, I've never been a fan of optics. Right. And I think there's a lot of coaches, and they become a victim of optics. And like, I've gone off with a bunch of new head coaches, and they weren't all about that. But then once they sit across that seat and they got to answer to donors and all that stuff, it's easy to fall in that trap and then just care about stars and rankings and what they are. I've never seen a guy that naturally doesn't like care about the optics. And I think it couldn't be better for the timing of college football right now, because he will straight up tell these kids that, it's going to be tough. This is going to be the hardest challenge of your life, right? It's no, hey, look at this pretty stadium. Look at this. It's still all about the degree, right? But it's not about the rankings. And because of that, and because of how the NIL is, and because of all the optics and the social media, the pressures that they have and their families, it's that more important to bring in kids that love football. I don't think I think that was probably the most consistent thing that I've been hearing from this weekend, is that they have to love football. Coach Campbell and Derek Hoosier and their team are going to take guys less talented, but with elite character, rather than a very elite player with less character. That's very transparent throughout that program right now, and I think is really refreshing. I'm really excited to see how it turns out. I just think it's perfect timing for the way that, the things that we talk about. I know we're going to talk about Kirby Smart, but the Ole Miss deal and like all that crazy stuff. So having a coach that's really grounded to what his beliefs are, and that culture and that building, is really important in these times, because, you have all this crazy things happening, right? So I think it's just a big difference. Coach Campbell isn't a big social media guy. Right. A lot of coaches are. And Coach Franklin was. He was very active on social media.
And it's a good way to brand and sell your program. So it's just two different things. One thing you'll notice is I think we had 20 guys here the other day. I was always an advocate of smaller is better because you can be personal with the kids. You can get around them. You know, they may have just flown from California, like some did, to South Dakota this past week. Like the coaches that love just numbers to say, hey, we had 400 guys here, that it's counterproductive because you're not able to show love to that kid that just flown from South Dakota. And now he's going back trying to beat a storm. And he's saying, well, was it worth it? Well, no, because he was with 400 kids and, you know, Coach Mauser couldn't talk to the kid because he was talking to 50 other kids that, you know, he won't ever see again. So I've been a big advocate of that, not just now. I've always hated that, but that's an optics thing, right?
Yes.
And that's why I am absolutely in love with this staff, because they don't play to optics. They don't care. It's you know what it is? You know what they care about? Winning.
Yeah.
Well, and that's all that matters.
I think too, in setting that tone, kids recognize if you're BSing them or not. You know, they could tell who's authentic, who's sincere, and they're also the right kids because they're the ones who want to hear that message versus the kids who football isn't necessarily number one in their life. They have other priorities. And I think, Mike, in Indiana and Kurt Cignetti, we've talked about this, have ruined a lot of programs and a lot of coaches by raising the bar. But I think there should be lessons learned there. And that was a 3-star team that beat a bunch of 5-star teams through the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those were the things that they were looking for. Shifting gears a little bit and just talking about how crazy this is now, you alluded to it, the Ole Miss and Clemson story. Just to give a quick little background on it, there was a player, a linebacker, who signed within the transfer portal with Clemson. He moved there, moved in, started taking classes. He was there totally and completely committed, had the contract, and then ended up abandoning them, moving on to Ole Miss in the last minute. And to Dabo Sweeney, I'm not the biggest Dabo Sweeney fan in the world, but to his credit, he didn't sit back and say, oh, well, he came out and completely documented everything. When phone calls were made, promises were made, what the agent said, what the, Ole Miss was doing, contacting the player. If they're ever going to do something about tampering, this has got to be Exhibit A, the lead case, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, I would think so. And call me crazy, but that came out, I think, late. It kind of hit the news late, I feel like. Yeah. And then when I caught it that evening, I'm like, oh, this got to be all over sports talk radio. And I know I talk about all the time how I'm a big XM radio guy. I listen to college football station all the time, or college sports network. I'm like, oh, they're going to be crushing this and talking about it. They didn't talk about it at all. And then in the morning, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to hear everybody fired up about this. I didn't hear anything. And then finally, I heard a couple people last night. I got to catch up on some things, and I was listening to them. I think the vibe is like maybe they're not going to do something, which I would think if there's a time to cut ties with the NCAA, if they don't do something about this, then I don't know how this is going to work. I think everybody brings up the number one question. Well, who's going to make the change? Who does that? Like, you have this entity, you have this huge ass billion-dollar company, but it's ran by the conference commissioners, right? And they have their own agendas.
So they're not like the one of the most powerful one, Greg Sankey. Do you think he's going to try to get his Ole Miss team, who just was one game away from the national championship, in trouble? No, because he needs to get one of his teams in the national championship. So, but those are the power brokers. So who's going to make the change? You know what I mean? So, and this has been going on. And I told you I had a good story when it came up, because when I was at Virginia Tech, you know, we had some talented kids coming in there, or we had some talented kids.
Well, I'll tell you what, let me interrupt you for a second, Mike. And I want to hear the whole story and let you flesh it out. But we're in the last minute of this segment and have to take a hard break. So I'll let you start our next segment with that story. But I think this situation, it's Dabo Swinney, it's Clemson with the ACC talking about an SEC school. The only thing that would have made it better is if instead of Dabo Swinney, if it were Kalen DeBoer from Alabama, and you had a Southeast Conference on Southeast Conference battle between the two schools over it, then it would be really interesting what Greg Sankey would do. But I think you hit one of the great issues going on now, which is who has the power to do anything about it? And it really is just the conference commissioners, especially the Big Ten, SEC, but throw in, you know, the Big 12 and the ACC. I don't know if it has to be a gentleman's agreement or what, but we'll talk about it more right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective supporting 31 sports and over 800 student athletes at Penn State. With me today, Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of HVU. And Mike, we're talking about this crazy world of college football, and you were getting set to tell a story, and I didn't want to have to cut you off in mid-story towards the break there, but we were talking about this Dabo Swinney versus Ole Miss over a player who had a contract, everything with Clemson, and last minute he says, hey, I'm entering the portal, I'm going to Ole Miss. But you said you had a story from your days.
Yeah, I remember hearing about Ole Miss and kind of how they were operating in their front office, essentially, and they had a pretty good system from an evaluation system, because that was at a time where I think everybody was trying to get caught. I think they were a little bit ahead of the time how they were set up, to be honest, compared to a majority of schools. They really had a good system. The systems like that I would have in place were, you know, you had X amount of people that were in charge of a certain class, a certain position. They were teamed up with a position coach and analyst, and you worked the regions and wherever you recruited nationally, all of that. All right. But they went ahead and, you know, implemented a system where anybody with X amount of plays in college football had to be evaluated. So they had a whole evaluation and identification process just for the college football, the college scouting. And that, I want to say that that was like 4 or 5 years ago, that I think that's really when it started. And I remember rebuilding our boards because we were going to restructure at Virginia Tech. And we're going to hire even more interns and people to come in to handle the college scouting. So I was really excited about it because it's really cool. I think it's really neat. But still, it was weird at first when you're starting to take on something like that, because you're scouting and looking at players and putting them on a board at your school, but they're still at another school. Nobody, and a lot of them,
like most of them, like they may not have any intentions to transfer, but you're still evaluating them if they had X amount of plays. Because then if you can go down to when you're really trying to really the portal hits, then you're or about to hit, you can look at these depth charts. Yeah, you're ready to go. Really good, really cool concept. But it's still weird because it's like, oh, you don't want to – hey, we're not trying to take any players, you know, from any other schools. But then, you know, Ole Miss, they had their players texting our players all the time. And that was the first thing that they were starting to do. And then I think they just said, screw it. You know, they're just going to have the coaches and everybody just text, call, didn't matter. Because they just obviously don't care or don't think or don't respect and think the NCAA is going to do anything. And right now they are right. I mean, the fact that Pete Golding's coming back out and like jabbing, and I like Pete Golding. I golfed with him one time when I was in when I was at Mississippi State. I was friends with Huff, and you know, Alabama's like only 40 minutes away, and he's a phenomenal guy, but like fiery guy too. So like, if he's being told, "Hey, Pete, don't worry about that. They ain't doing nothing." All right, so Pete goes, "All right, I can pop off. Cool." Like that. Like, this is insane. This is crazy to me that this is actually happening. And nothing, I really genuinely don't think anything's going to happen. I don't think the NCAA has any legs to get themselves involved in something like this or bigger issues other than like somebody sending a text to a kid that is like a 29 class. That's the only petty stuff that they're going to try to do because that's the only thing they can do. And it's a joke.
I find it interesting though. That at the very least, what Dabo Swinney is doing by going public with it is he's embarrassing or at least exposing, you know, the powers that be. It may not matter to them, but it's I think there's a potential for public outcry. Hey, wait a minute. Is this really how you guys are playing the game? The other question I had for you about this is Dabo Swinney framed this as a tampering issue. You know, Ole Miss. What about the sanctity of a contract? Here was a player, and this has come up, you know, the stories we have about some of the quarterbacks. Until now, it's been about, you know, Darian Mensa from Duke, Damond Williams from Washington, Brendan Sorsby going from Cincinnati to Texas Tech. You know, the Sorsby story was, hey, there was a buyout there, and it seemed to function correctly. But the Mensa story, the Damond Williams story is, they had a contract with their schools and essentially ignored it and moved on, which is the same thing in this, you know, Clemson to Ole Miss story. So I guess from your position, Mike, with what you do and looking at this, is there such thing as the sanctity of a contract? Hey, you signed a contract here for 2 years to stay here for 2 years and be paid for 2 years. It's not like in professional sports. Yes, there's free agency, but if I have a current contract for 3 years with my current team, I don't just up after 1 year and say, you know what? Someone else is going to pay me more money. I declare myself a free agent. I can't because I've got a contract. Is that even a factor?
Well, I thought it was. Because, I mean, you saw the thing with the Damond Williams, I think is his name, the quarterback.
Yes, from Washington.
Yeah. I think he thought he was going to buck the system and get around it, and he got some bad information. Not from his agent, but from somebody else, because that same agent is the head coach's agent.
Right.
And so then he let that client go, that kid go, because he wanted no part of that, because he knew he was contractually tied and there was going to be some legal ramifications if he tried to really pursue this thing. So I don't see how this is any different, because he was there. Like, this is even worse. I think Dabo put it like there's 101 tampering. this is graduate level, getting my thesis, PhD level type stuff. he was there, and by all accounts, I'm assuming he had contract signed with Clemson, working out, meeting with the coaches, just like anything. He was on board it. And then you get the head coach calling him, maybe after one of the Clemson's lifts, and saying, hey, how much is it going to cost? And then for them to come in that, hey, we'll double it. Sounds freaking reckless to me. And if that's like they're handling business over there, I think that's not a good – to me, that's a red flag. And Austin Thomas, the GM there, or whatever his title is, he's one of the most respected guys in the business when it comes to that. He's been doing it forever. He's kind of one of the OGs when it comes to player personnel and stuff. But, like, I don't know how he's going to get away with that. Like, that's insane to me because, like, that's a whole nother million. You just say, all right, well, he wants another million, or let's make it more enticing. Instead of 800 or 700 grand, we'll double it, make it almost two million. Okay, so this kid, a college student, is telling his mom and pops that, who are probably telling him, you know, do the right thing, you know, finish what you started, you know, all that good stuff. He's probably a good kid. But then the mom, dad, uncle's probably, I don't know, bro, a million? You're talking about another million for a couple months? This isn't a whole year. He's going to be there. What for the contract could be till next January or whatever, or December. Like, I don't know. That is a bad, bad deal for college football. And I hope they do something about it. But Jim, like, who is doing something about it? Who is it?
That's the thing. You mentioned earlier, the conference commissioners are the only ones with the power, with the juice to do anything about it. And this, I advise our listeners, find an article that will tell you the whole, cover the Dabo press conference, where he went point by point by point and quoted the different people. You mentioned the GM at Ole Miss being a decent guy. I think the one where comment I saw about him was, yeah, he was respected, and the people at Clemson's GM knew him, liked him, respected him. And I believe the answer was, hey, it's not me. This is the head coach. The guy's crazy. You know, like, he's the one, you know, doing this. Like, there is some honor here, but not with everyone. And the other quote that caught my eye, Mike, and I wish I had written it down. I don't have it in front of me. But the kid's agent essentially said, well, if you match this, he'll stay. And I'll give you all the tampering information you want. Which
there are so many levels to this. I remember opening it up the first time on Twitter or X, and I see it. And I see 8 minutes. I'm like, 8 minutes. I'm like, there's no chance I listen to this whole thing, because I particularly don't like Dabo either. I just think he's a big cornball. But he I thought it was awesome what he did and how he laid it out. And how he went through it, I thought it was really good. I mean, it was like this to me. This feels like a good Netflix documentary that I would want to watch.
Well, it was a lesson in presentation skills, how to go through things point by point. He obviously had his notes together, and you know, it was so much detail, Mike. I think I believe every point, everything statement that he made, because it was so well documented what he said. You know, this on this day at this time, this was the text that came in or the phone call that was made.
Yeah, right. But but when I say it feels like it felt like watching a Netflix kind of, because like I don't watch too many shows, but like if it's a good doc and like. And my wife is like telling me watch it, and I get some time, I'll watch it. And they're usually those documentaries are really good, the spicy like murder ones, or like the greed one or the scandals. It's usually like, okay, this is pretty bad. And then there's always like another layer, like, oh my gosh, this is really bad. And like it usually ends with some like kick. You're like, this is the craziest thing ever. That's how I felt listening to him. And like you brought up the agent saying, well, I'll tell you all that tampering stuff.
just match it. You got to be kidding me.
I know it's absolutely crazy, but it also gives you an insight into how these things work. All right, that's it for quarter three. We got one more segment to go. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director over at Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective, supporting 31 sports and over 800 student athletes at Penn State. I'm Jim Galante, quarter number four of our show. And Mike, we were chatting a little bit between segments, and we're talking about how the Southeast Conference works. And you just reminded me, it clicked in my head. There's essentially been conversations where the SEC has not even had a team in the championship game over the last 3 years. And the question was, gee, why? And the assumption a lot of people make is, well, the playing field got leveled. Now it's not just the SEC paying players, allegedly. Everybody's on an equal footing. And when we hear these stories about Ole Miss tampering with Clemson players, as you put it, this is the SEC trying to get back on top.
The SEC trying, yeah, them trying to be the SEC. They're like, oh, well, how can we break the rules to get the up on things now? You know, like that's what it feels like. You know, they're like, okay, well, they see that the NCAA is vulnerable and more than likely is not going to be a thing in the future. So they're just saying, screw it. All right, let me just, I'll call whoever the hell I want. You know, and if I'm a head coach at another school, that like terrifies me a little bit. But it is such a crazy time. Again, it's like the documentary. It's like it can't get any crazier, yeah. Right? Like, when's it going to start leveling out, guys? Like
the chaos is fun. It's interesting.
It's
created a new world. By the way, that whole SEC thing just reminds me of one of the greatest quotes in the world. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. I'm a Youngstown guy, and I heard it a long time ago. And one of the coaches I looked up to growing up was the Youngstown State head coach, Jim Tressel. And I remember back in the day, there was some guys getting some cars in the local Youngstown dealerships. And I remember that was a quote allegedly from him. And I love that quote. It's funny.
Well, it's actually the setup, and I'm getting off tangent a little bit, but John Calipari now tries to be the voice of reason. You know, he's telling us how they're, you know, players should only get one free portal move and all that.
Nick Saban.
Oh, yeah.
Like the worst. Yeah.
The thing is, John Calipari, if you read his history, if there was ever a guy who stretched the rules, you know, go back to his UMass days when he made his bones. And I remember talking to friends that if you're a coach and he went to a really bad UMass basketball team, if it takes cheating to win, that's a multi-million dollar decision on his part.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, all of a sudden he's coaching in the NBA, he's coaching at Kentucky, all of that. And, you know, the temptation is so great because the stakes are so high. You kind of understand why it went that way. Yeah. Let's move on to a few more things going on again in this crazy world. Mike, we got the announcement, the powers that be, they all want to expand the playoffs from 12 to 16 teams, but because they can't agree on anything, it's going to stay at 12 teams for another year. But just to show you how the guys who are the biggest bullies in town, the Big Ten, SEC, the Power Four conferences, ACC's champion was Duke, who wasn't among the four best conference champs. So the way we make that not happen again, Mike, we change the rules. So the Power Four teams all get into, the champion always gets in. And if you're Notre Dame, who didn't make the playoffs this year, gee, if you finish in the top 12, you can't get bumped. We change the rules. Notre Dame, you're in the top 12. You make it no matter what. The people with the big stick, they win.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, I'll bring together what we were just talking about, all this like tampering and stuff. Like, I think that's not on these guys. Like, yeah, that's a big deal, right? But the bigger deal is making sure that they are supplanted in the future of college football, and they're doing everything to make sure that doesn't go wrong, especially Petitti with the Big Ten, because he's now in a really good position. And now you got the guy that lost it's like Game of Thrones, right? Like, now Sankey, he was the king. Now he's pissed off. Now he needs to try to do whatever he can. And now you got these two guys that are stubborn. But hey, guys, how about the tampering? How about all this NIL crap going on that we can't get guardrails on? Or how about we have an institution, NCAA, that can't do anything or enforce anything? Or how about we have a CSC that can't do crap and people are just funneling third-party money to their kids regardless of the CSC? And then the CSC comes out and tries to threaten, oh, things are going to – we're about to, enforce some things. That was a couple of weeks ago. Haven't heard a damn thing. It is a mess. It's like that show on, was it MSNBC or whatever, American Greed? You ever see that show? Great show.
No.
Yeah, that's what this is. This is American Greed. This is all they care about is the money, their seat at the table. And but I'm glad. I'm a Big Ten guy. I always have been growing up in Ohio. I'm glad to see the Big Ten is sitting at the top right now. But when you talked about like originally like the playoff teams and stuff and like all that, like you and Chris are like really like good on that stuff. I'm not, like, I don't even really care. like you guys like really understand like the implications and all of that good stuff. It's like I care about the tampering, I care about the cap, I care about collective bargaining, like all that is the stuff that like I really care about. Like, so they're fighting about these non-conference games and the playoffs and all that stuff. Can we get the foundational stuff fixed too? Like, or at the same time, or like, can we like at least put some attention towards that stuff? So when all of the, like, you guys get to settle, you guys settle on whatever the playoffs structure is, or the who's playing how many non-conference games, it's still going to be a crap. It's still, the house is a mess still,
Well, the thing of it is, Mike, and somebody said this and I agree, doesn't matter what the question is, the answer is money.
Right.
Why are you tampering? Money. Why are you changing the playoff rules? Money. For example, the playoffs, if these rules were in place, Miami, a team that made it to the championship game, and I think deservedly so, they played really well, they would not have made the playoffs. Notre Dame would have made the playoffs in their place, even if Miami was ranked higher than them. Notre Dame would have made the playoffs. And where's the money tie-in? Notre Dame gets $12 million from the playoff thing. If they actually make the playoffs, they make $18 million. So this is, could be a $6 million decision for Notre Dame. So what do you think Notre Dame's incentive was for this rule change? It was $6 million. Very easy, Mike. Very easy. There's the answer.
To me, that's a joke too. How Notre Dame just like is their own like conference. It's like they're just their own power at B. Like they can manipulate however they want things to go. I think that's BS. And I'm a fan of Marcus Freeman, and I think he's a really, really good coach. I've never liked Notre Dame growing up, but the fact that they like no matter what, like the what's the rule next year? It's a different rule this coming season that they can. They're like almost guaranteed to get in the playoffs or something like that.
Right. Yeah. The way it's working now is if they are in the top 12, they automatically get in. Whereas, you know, because you have to have the conference champion and a group of six champion in, if you finish ranked like 11th or 12th, there's a good chance you'll get bumped. For example, Duke would have made it this past year with the new rule at, you know, 8-5 with their conference championship rule. Now, the ACC is also changing their tiebreaker rule, but Duke would get in. Or in this scenario, like we had this past year, Miami close to the bubble, but they were ranked higher than Notre Dame, so they stayed in. Notre Dame didn't make it. In this scenario, you could have Notre Dame ranked 12th, Miami ranked 11th, but the group of 16 gets in, which means, you know, the last guy, Notre Dame ranked 12th, wouldn't make it. In the new rules, Miami actually ranked higher than Notre Dame. They would get bumped instead of Notre Dame getting bumped, even though Notre Dame is ranked lower. That is just why the other conferences agree to that is incredible.
Yeah. It's just, it's all a mess, right? It's all a mess. I was like, just please, guys, figure this thing out. The NCAA, figure out what they are doing. Like, what is the purpose? Like, what are we doing there? Who's going to make a decision? Who's going to enforce things? It's just, it's a mess. And at the same time, I love it. I'm here for it. I'm here for it all, to be a sponge and a fly on the wall with everything. It's been awesome. this past 3-4 months has been a roller coaster, to say the least, but fun. Also, because it's just madness. So I don't even like know what the heck. I was upstairs getting a coffee this morning, and my wife had like the news on. She's following a snowstorm, and then it gets into the news and stuff. I'm like, she's like, "Did you see this?" I was like, "No, I didn't," and I'm not, because I work in the college football space. There's plenty for me to dive into, so it's kind of nice because it distracts me from like all the other BS and get mad about this or that. So it's crazy college football.
It really is, and trust me, yeah. Watching the news, you don't want to watch it. It's craziness going on in the rest of the world, Mike, and not fun to watch. But you know what? That's going to have to wrap it up. And we didn't even hit some of the things you and I had talked about. Like Josh Pate came out with a great idea for the college football playoffs. Hit a lot of the things we talked about. Yeah. There was some talk the coaches want their, instead of getting to play 4 games in your redshirt year, getting to play 9. But you know what that means, Mike? It means we got plenty to talk about next week.
Always, Jim.
That's going to have to be it. Thank you, Mike. Thank all of you for listening. Make sure you come back next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.